The topic of grammar has become very, very controversial and practical over recent years and decades. And the only way to approach it is to really go back to the original source. The original source, primarily source number 3 in this source sheet, towards the very end, we'll go right to the main punchline, where the Gemara says as follows. The last two lines. Asiyahu di asur grama shari. To do something by yourself is prohibited. Losasa kol malacha. Grama shari. You do it, it's only in a way of causing. Indirectly, it's permissible. Losasa kol malacha. Asiyahu di asur grama shari. Exclamation point. And once it's correct, except for other external considerations. Now, what exactly is the case? What's the case that the Gemara is talking about? So, if you look at the top of source 3, Osa Mechitza, refers back to the Mishnah, the previous Amud, which tells us that, as it found in the second line, Osa Mechitza Bekelim Rekonim, according to the dissenting view, one may only make, if you will, a restraining wall to prevent the fire from spreading with empty utensils, or if they're filled with water, if they're not going to crack when the fire approaches. What are they? Clay makas made from metal. Have you seen Omer? Af clay kfar shichin, clay kfar chananya, and darkon lishtaber. In short order, the machlokes seems to be a dispute with respect to kelim which is dark on the ishtaber. If they're going to crack when the fire spreads, and they're going to have water come out and put out the fire, is it permissible to encircle the fire with such barrels, which at the end of the day are going to put out the fire when they crack? Remarkably, this issue is one of which is called grama. And let me explain what grama means and what grama does not mean, according to many authorities. This is my Rebbe's opinion, and the opinion of many other gedolim as well. What happens over here is, there's a fire raging, and the fire, we're afraid, is going to spread too far. So, to put out the fire, we're not allowed to do it. It's one of the lamates malachas, this mechabe. What do? We encircle the fire with barrels. The barrels contain water. When the fire spreads, then we say that the water in the barrels will come out and put out the fire. Not a problem, because what I did was nothing. A fire is spreading. I encircle the fire with water, in effect, in barrels. It didn't do anything. Whatever happened by itself. This is a very beautiful definition of grama. What happened in the following case? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman discusses this in his Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Siman Yud Gimel. The following case: a person takes a barrel of water and rolls it down the hill, gets to the bottom of the hill, puts out a fire. What do you say about that? Is that grama or is that not grama? Shlomo Zalman is mesupuk. Maybe it's not called grama. What's the difference? In the first case, what I do, and what, if you will, a koach acha meruabo, to some other, the wind does, look what the wind blew in, that the wind is moving the fire, are two separate things. I put my barrel here, and the wind moves the fire towards the barrel. That's called grama. But if I roll the barrel down the hill, sure, it takes a while for it to roll down the hill, but ultimately, my action is what's causing the water to get close to the fire, as opposed to the Gemara's case, where it's the wind which brings the water, the fire, towards the water. It's a different case. That situation may not be viewed as grama. It's a very serious question which has significant implications. For example, that's part of the context, what happens if you have a Shabbos clock? A Shabbos clock. And the Shabbos clock can be turned. And you want to turn the Shabbos clock, and by turning the Shabbos clock in a certain way, instead of going off at midnight, goes off at 11, an hour earlier. Is that called grama, or is it not called grama? So that's this question. Here, what you're doing is you are moving the dial. As a result, if you're moving that dial, the quote fire, the light, is going to go off earlier. So maybe you're compared to someone who's rolling a barrel, and that barrel of water is going to get to the fire and put it out, either earlier than otherwise, or it wouldn't have happened at all otherwise, which may not necessarily be considered in the category of grama. Shlomo Zalman remains in doubt about this question, and as a result, it seems to me that some of the leniency is found in the Sefer Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa concerning moving Shabbos Tak in that direction. The light should go on or off earlier are very, very questionable. It seems to me that would presumably not be considered in the category of grama, because according to this definition, if what you do and what the other outside force does start at the same time, that's a significant problem of on Shabbos. It's not necessarily considered to be grama. The only grama case that we have is the case where you circle the existing fire with barrels which have water. So again, what you're doing and what else is happening are two unrelated things. You're creating a barrier with barrels with water in it, and then the fire on its own is coming towards that, towards those barrels. That's called grama. If you roll the barrel down the hill, that may not be considered to be grama. And the playing with the Shabbos clock should go on or off earlier is, it seems to me, to be the equivalent of rolling the barrel down the hill. Not necessarily a case of grama. This is the opening line I wanted to make in the which is very, very important. It's great significance. Great significance. Now, there are many fundamental questions that have to be raised concerning these issues. Let's discuss, for example, a very common shaila. Very common. A person has a refrigerator. He wants to open the refrigerator, take out the food on Shabbos. Or our refrigerators are all based on a thermostat. Everyone. The thermostat. Hot air comes into the cavity of the refrigerator, moves the temperature up, and as a result, the motor will go on earlier. Is this permissible or prohibited? Not so simple. It's a matter of significant dispute. Our minig is to permit it. And the question, of course, becomes, why? Why is it permissible? Why? It's an excellent question. Because of what you're doing, the motor is going on earlier than it would otherwise. And if you take our definition from before, here, the moment you open the door, the air is coming in immediately. So therefore, it's arguable this is more comparable to rolling a barrel down the hill as opposed to encircling an existing fire with barrels outside. Not so simple. Why should this be permissible? I'd like to share with you in source number 4, the Shilte Giborim in Masechta Shabbos. Let's read together. Umasha Kosev Atura Rechaim Siman Shin Lamed Aleph. Talis she'ochas b'ha'ur shori l'poshto afal pishu nichbe kevin she'enu mechavim epshutuso zos l'chavos. You don't intend to extinguish the fire. The mashma she'mechavim l'kach she'osu l'poshto. If you have in mind, it's prohibited. Ve'en shem echad me'aposkim she'yaskir davazeh. We don't find it. Ki midivrei kula muchach the gram kibu shari, as we saw in the Gemara, afilu mechaven lekach, even if you intend to achieve this malacha, mikol mekom nireh, the vaday kol gram kibu the sharin and who, binen she'eino mechaven lechabos. Hear what's going on? Shulte Giborim has a tremendously limiting point on any possible dispensation of grama. It's only if you do not have intention to have that result. Ela who osa shum davar lachtos b'fnei adleika. You're not interested in putting the fire out. As far as you're concerned, the fire can burn forever, as long as it doesn't go past that border. Let it burn. What do we care? There's nothing there. Let it burn. But there's a house, the other side of the barrel. You don't want it to get that far. So again, you're not interested in extinguishing it. You're only interested in preventing it from spreading. Column 2. Right, they can't buy kibri kaida per priestess or mechitzas kelim malaya mayim on the sinus clearake and takas aner, that men base, all those three cases. The chayotze beelu. She'eno mechavin lechavos elala hogin. It's just a barrier to prevent the fire from spreading. Therefore, ibahai maisa she'ose bome mela gram osur kemoshikos avatur the kelim malaya mayim. Afal gav, we're missing something over here. Got cut off. Okay. In any event, so we see over here, we'll start the wide lines that we can actually read. It says, Osa Bomamela Hakibui Shaper Dami. Plohavi Alagram Kibui Velo Mechavin. The Mechavin the Kach, I feel like they gram, Osir, Kimosha Kosavatur. Miu. Sheena Mechavin the Kach. Afal P is the key word. To have a psik reshe, Shorei de gram. Here's the key phrase. What does psik reishe mean? Everyone knows what that means. It's an inedible consequence of what you are doing. Normally psik reishe is prohibited, but here it's a psik reishe are they shorei are they grab it to be delayed. Shorei tiru laktos bekele malei amayim alfa bishe bevada yizbaku v'yichabu have a psik reishe mikoma kom shorei kevan she'eno ala grab ve'eno mechaven lekach.
That'll explain the refrigerator.
That's exactly the refrigerator. Umesubkani, bechomalecha Shabbos hanasis v'lo miskaven are they gram b'psik reishe ki hide the gram kibul yisharia odil magabe dleiko ikilu. Maybe it's only a special leniency when it comes to preventing a fire. So if you assume the more lenient version that's permissible in general, we can understand why it's permissible to open a refrigerator on Shabbos. You're not mechaven to put the motor on. It's an inevitable consequence of what you're doing that the motor will go on earlier than otherwise. This is considered to be permissible as per the words of the Shulta Giborim. Very, very important. To my mind, this Shulta Giborim is critical because without this, we don't understand how we can open the refrigerator on Shabbos. Let me take it a step further. How can you open your front door on Shabbos? That's not a joke. You live in the winter, you have a thermostat somewhere in your living room. You open the front door, a blast of frigid air comes into the house and will cause the thermostat to be affected, and the fire in the furnace of the central heating will go on earlier than otherwise. In a certain way, that's much worse than a refrigerator. Because the refrigerator, what happens at the end of the day? The motor goes on. The motor goes on. We're not exactly sure what's worth putting a motor on. We don't do it, of course, but it's not such a high level of prohibition. As opposed to lighting a fire, which is exactly what happens in the case of a central heating and furnace. Now we know that. That's called maver. That's a Torah prohibition. So how do you... the same thing which applies to opening the door in your house applies to opening an oven. Rabbi Shimon Ida, Zichrono Livracha, in his classic work, Hilchos Shabbos, did an experiment. He wanted to know, when you open an oven on Shabbos, if there's food inside. So he took an oven, and what exactly did he do? He opened the oven once, twice. It took him eight times to open and close the oven, until he heard that the fire, which is on low, you know, went higher because of the thermostat. Right. Eight times. Okay, so based on that, the assumption generally is permissible to open an oven with food inside, even though as a result of that, the fire is going to go on earlier than otherwise. Again, for the same logical reason of this, based upon the Shulta Giborim, that it's what's called a psik resha shorei de gram, and here the word gram just means that it's happening later, doesn't happen right away. I believe this is a correct tzak. Recently, there was a bit of a tumult with respect to warming drawers. Some of you may have seen some of the things on the internet. Warming drawers. The fact of warming drawers, that when you open the warming drawer, some cold air gets in, And as a result, the warming drawer heating device will go on earlier than otherwise. It seems to me it should be permissible for the same reason as opening an oven and opening the door to your house and opening the refrigerator. It's all based on the same idea. It's called, again, a grama psikresha ayade gram. The Shulta Gibram says it's permissible, and I believe that this is something which we have to accept la halacha. Now, understand one thing. The Shulta Gibram, in a sense, views himself as a machmir, not a maker, as a machmir. He says that although the simple read is that grama is permissible not only in the case of psikresha, but even in the case of mechavim, if you take a look in the Bir Halacha, Bir Halacha, source number 10, source number 10, Shavara Yisvaku, Shein Lem Koach Lekaba La'ur B'nei HaShachadoshim Hein, U'masha B'gemara, Tafilu Im Mechavim Lozeh, Gam Ken Shari. Where do you see that? You don't see it in the Gemara Nav Kuf Chof, because there, as we said before, Shulta Gibram explained, only trying to contain the fire. What's his source? B'Shabbos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. It says at the beginning of the sugya, the Rabbanon Muta B'Nitzotzos Afilu B'Shabbos. What happened over there? There are some sparks that are coming down from a burning candle, and it's permissible to put water underneath. Av Shumachaven Shechava Yedezeh. The Mishnah Berurah is working with an assumption that you want that the spark should go out when they hit the water. Who said? Who said? Or you want that the spark shouldn't spread and create a fire. Not necessarily go out. They can stay. If sparks, lu yitzuyu, as we say in Yeshiva, lu yitzuyu, the sparks will just float on the water till after Shabbos. Doesn't bother me. I don't want that to have to go out. Shouldn't spread, burn the house down. That's exactly the same as the Gemara Nav Kuf Chof. Had the Bialoch know that he's mechavin that should go out? I don't think it's a psikisha. So I don't think this proves much. But the Shulta Giborim, once again, is strict where the Mishnah, the Bialoch is lenient. Now, look at the next line. V'chein muchach sham, daf kuf chaf medbeis, the mapik, the grama shari, medichsiv, lo sasa lo malacha, asiyo di asur grama shari, v'dumyo da asiyo sharina and begrama. Oh, now we're talking. It's not a proof of a particular case, it's a proof of the derivation itself. Lo sasako malacha, so asiya asur grama shari, and there's no reference here whatsoever to any consideration of mechave, not mechave, nothing. Nothing of the sort is found over here. This seems to lead to a conclusion that the Shulta Giborim is wrong, and the Biar Locha is right, that the dispensation of grama applies not only to a psikresha case, as the Shulta Gibran would have it, but even to a case of mechavim. Again, what's the proof? The proof from Daf Mem Zayin I thought was no proof, because there we could say once again it's only a psikresha. The proof from the case of Kuf Chaf is certainly no proof, because there too it's just a psikresha. You don't want it to go out. But the proof is from the source itself. That's a very, very significant source. So how do you get out of this one? How will the Shulta Gibran get out of this? Let me make the following suggestion. Let's take a look on the Gemara in Baba Kama, source number 5. Number 5, Tana Rabbana. Tana Rabbana. Liba v'lipsa ruach. Talking about fire causing damage and having to pay for the tort. If what you did is not enough, it's only the wind which causes it to spread, your potter. Ask the Gemara, am I? Levik is Zorah v'ruach mesayoso. Exclamation point. I throw up the combination of wheat and chaff. The wind blows away the chaff, and the wind and the wheat sticks to the floor. So you chayev on Shabbos. So if you chayev on Shabbos, why aren't you chayev when it comes to nisakin as well? Excellent question. After the first three answers, let's get to the main important answer for us. Rav Ashi Omar, and you go turn the page now. Ki Aminon Zorah Baruch Mesayoso Hanimilin and Shabbos. Why? Here's the key. The Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. you and I have learned Melechas Machshavas many times as a leniency. A leniency which makes something putter. And there are many subdivisions of that. Mekalkel and Kilachayad and Meinu Miskayim. Many laws in the Chashavas, there's leniencies based on Melechas Machshavas Asur Torah. Here, to the contrary, it's a stringency based on Melechas Machshavas Asur Torah. You throw it up into the air and the wind blows the chaff away. So you're chayek as Melechas Machshavas Asur Torah. Aval Hacha, we're talking about the Zikin, there's no such pasuk. Groma bi'almahu, who groma ben Izak and Potter. Get an impression here that groma and Shabbos and actually would be chayek because Melechas Machshavas Asur Torah. And Groma ben Izakin is Potter. So the Mefarshim ask a question, Rabbeinu Shalolim, you're saying that Groma on Shabbos is Chayav. We learned in Kuf Chav that Groma on Shabbos is Potter. That's a tremendous question. Okay. The Rosh tackles it a little bit here in Siman Yud Aleph. We read the last few lines. Hosam Melechas Machshavas Asra Torah. Watch this now. Af al pid lo havi ela groma bi'alma. Oh, and we know that groma on Shabbos is potter as well. No, b'hochi chiva Torah kevin shemelacha zu ikar asiyos er de ruach. Whoa, the Rosh seems to say that this
Zohar is an exception.
Zohar. Exactly, that Zohar is an exception to the rule. Because every Zohar is with the wind. Let's make the following suggestion. This act is not an act which normally is considered your action. It's considered to be a groma and groma only. Such an act, when it's not Zorah,
should be good.
It's mutter. Such an act, okay? This act is not a direct act. And the Shulta Gibram understands that the derivation of Grama Mutter is limited to this kind of a case, in which the only reason it would be chayv in the first place. Because Melechas Machshavas Asra Torah, as we have over here in Masechet Baba Kama Daf Samach, comes along the principle of Grama and says, yes, Eino Miskaven Psik Resha would normally, we would say that you should be Chayev. In this particular case, we say a Potter. So it seems to me that there's not an absolute proof from the derivation of the Gemara going against the Shulta Giborim's stringency. Now, it's interesting, if you go back to the Shulta Giborim, where did he get it from? Where did it all start from? The Tur. The Tur in Siman Shin Lamed Aleph. What did it say? He said, you have a talis, and it caught on fire, so you can take it on and off, and you don't care if the fire goes out. Why? Eino miskaven lekach. So the Shulta Giborim proves from here, it's only permissible to have grama, it's Eino miskaven lekach. So the Beis Yosef says, no, this is not true. This is not true. When you have the talis and you're putting it on and off, that's not called grama. No, that's what's called a kibui biyodayim. Kibui biyodayim. You're putting it out with your own hands. That's why we say it's only permissible if ainu miskaven. But if it's something which is only a grama, happening later on and that you didn't do it directly, then it's permissible not only in the segregation case, but even in the case of miskaven. Now it's interesting, the Shulta Giborim himself, as the Torah, both say that the other poskim don't make this distinction to miskaven and eino miskaven. I mean, they assume gram kibui is always permissible, as the Bir Halacha said. So the question that becomes, what about this idea of this poshet the talis? Says the Beis Yosef on this tour, it's not a psik resha. Not a psik resha. You're not sure when you're being oches talas, so you post or you turn it on and off. It's not for certain that the fire is going to go out. And she rules in, it's also a kibui kilacha yad, and it's a pseida, so Chazal permitted. I have a big question. Psik resha refers to a case of eino miskave. I don't intend to do it. Will it happen inevitably or not? That's the question of psik resha and first no psik resha. But here, on a simple level, he's mechaven to put the fire out. And if you're mechaven to put the fire out, so then, who cares? It's not a psik resha. What if I try to do something, I won't necessarily succeed? Does that mean if I succeed, I'm not chayef? It seems you certainly should be chayef. So I would say on my own. The only way to defend this opinion of the Beis Yosef is to go back to Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim called the Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos that says that Dovash Eina Miskavein. Let's review. Dovash Eina Miskavein Machlokos Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone knows this. Rabbi Shimon says Potter, Rabbi Yehuda says Chayef. Says the Gemara, Mold Rabbi Shimon Segreshet Lo Yomos, that you would be Chayef. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda says that Dovash Eina Miskavein on Shabbos is Aser. Says Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos Af Mem Aleph that although it's Aser, it's only Aser Midrabbanan. Dovah Shein Miskavin according to Rabbi Yehuda and other Yisurim is Doraisa, also Doraisa. And Shabbos is the Rabbanan. You know why? Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. What does that mean? Says Reb Chaim, the Chesaron is there is no Vados. Meleches Machsheves means a certainty. By the very definition of Dovah Shein Miskavin means I'm doing A, which may or may not lead to B. Since there's a lack of certainty, what we call the uncertainty principle, makes it from a Doraisa according to Abiyuda into a Derabbanan. Oh, that being the case, we go back to our situation. He's taking his shirt and he's trying to get the fire out. He may or may not succeed. This knocks it down to a Derabbanan, even if you're Mechavein. I repeat, even if you're Mechavein. And therefore, they're more lenient in this particular case. Oh. But now I come to the next very serious question, which is, the Shulta Giron has his own unique opinion. Does everyone else agree? Maybe other sources don't agree. I mentioned my Rebbe's view. My Rebbe's view, if you want to see it in print, Rabbi Shechter Shalita has an entire piece on it in his Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, Simen Zayin Os Dalet, where he explains, based upon many Gedolei Achronim, Rabbi Shechter quotes the Achronim, agree with what the Rav said, that when is there an issue of koach acham urabo if they work in tandem? When I do something and the other force is working at exactly the same time, that's considered the malacha which I did. I rolled the barrel down the hill, things of this nature. What if I do something and I'm finished? I put the barrels around the fire. I'm done. And now, later, some other force is pushing the fire towards my barrels. That's okay. That's not considered to be my action. Rav Shechter quoted that this opinion is shared by the Nesivis, the Pnei Yeshua, Rav Chaim, the Chazon Ish, all hold the same way. I have a major problem with that. The problem is from the Gemara in source number 3. Let's read it together. There's a double question on the question of issue of Grama. Rabbanan and Rav Yossi seem to contradict, each one contradicts himself. The Tanya, the last 6 lines. Hareisha Hashem Kotzev Lo Abzara. A person has Hashem's name on his skin. Hareisha Lo Yichotz. You're not permitted to go into a bath. This Dam Lo Tefillah Shem Mitzvah. You have to go to the mikvah. Korech Olav Gemi V'yor V'tovi. You put some kind of a gemi on top. Ayi Chatzitza. You figure out how to get out of that and go into the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi Omer. The olam yored v'tovel kedarko, because Rabbi Yossi holds gram mechika is mutter. Says the Gemara, shani hosin to come across dvarim yudbeis lo sas and ken l'shem alokechem. I see you the aser grama shari. Here's the problem. My Rebbe said that the only time grama is mutter is if the other force does not start acting as soon as I do my thing. That criterion does not seem to be satisfied in this case. The person goes into the mikvah. So as soon as you go into the mikvah, whatever ink is on your skin will begin slowly, slowly, slowly to disintegrate. That's what happens. If you spend a half an hour in the bath, it'll probably be gone. But the second you go into the hot bath, it's already going to start the process of removing that ink. So the question becomes, why should this be permissible? I think the only answer is as follows. Even my Rebbe, who held that grama only applies in a situation where the outside force does not begin working until you, after you completed your act, that's in the case of mechaveh, where you intend that act to happen. What about the case of psikresha? That's happening over here. You don't want to erase Hashem's name, but what are you going to do? You want to go to the mikvah, and then the water will erase Hashem's name. You can't help it. That's a psikresha. So even the classic mefarshim that Rav Shechter Shlita quotes, and that's how my Rebbe said pshat in the context of grama, who say that if I do something at exactly the same time another force is beginning to work, that's considered to be an asiyah, not a grama. They'll have to concede in the case of segregation that this leniency applies. That's exactly the case of the Gemara with respect to grama. That's exactly the case of the Shulta Giborim. So therefore, it seems to me the Shulta Giborim is agreed to by even the poskim who do accept the leniency of grama, not only in segregation cases but even in Bechavan cases. You're going to have no choice but to accept a new definition, a new heter of grama, a second heter, if you will, even if it starts immediately, as long as it's only a case of a psikresha and not a case of a mechav.
But no action starts immediately. If you look at time, you know, we think time differently. Put time as a nanosecond, okay. It doesn't happen. Okay. There is a space.
Well, I'm not into nanos right now, but when we say immediately, we mean it fairly immediately. I'll give an example. Rabbi Avadya, the Zichrono Livracha, has a shaila: is it permissible to extinguish a fire on your oven on Yom Tov? That's a shaila. It's in Chelek Aleph, Simel Lamed Aleph, in Orach Chaim. He says some people say it's only considered to be a gram kibui. Rabbi Avadya says no, it happens right away. Not right away. Nothing happens right away. Very quick. It takes a second or two, because you know what happens. There's a little bit of gas between the dial and the flame till that gas goes off. I would say it's within a toka de dibur. Next time you turn it off, you'll see within it's beyond a nanosecond, that's for sure.
But how fast it goes.
Yeah, but it's going to go off. We could call that's called an halakhli right away. Not into science. We call that right away. That's how we define it. That's why he, in fact, paskins that it would be really prohibited. Fine. Now let's go a little bit further in this very significant issue. What happens? What happens? The following case. You, as I said before, you have a Shabbos clock and you're trying to arrange for the Shabbos clock to go on later. Rav Moshe Paskins and Yoredeya Chela Gimel Simen Mem Zayin Oz Dalet that you're chayav, even in a case in which you cause it
later or early.
Rav Moshe Chayav said even in the case of later. I don't understand that. Rather, I think Rav Moshe is referring to the following case. Perhaps some of them you take a little screw, you screw it out, and then you move it over and you put it back.
Yeah.
Ah,
tripper. That's
tripper, right. Yeah. So then, you push it in, slide it, then let go. So then, when you pushed it in, you kept your hand until after Avdol, nothing would happen.
Yeah.
So then when you let go, that you're in effect making it earlier, rather than would have been otherwise. Mm-hmm. So that's how I understood Rav Moshe's Shuva, although there are those who disagree and say no. Right, sure. There are those who claim that if I do something which does not change a status, but it extends a status, I would also be chayav. According to those poskim, if I make a Shabbos clock go off later, so instead of the light going off at 11, it goes off at midnight, I'll be chayav. Most poskim disagree with that. But there are those who say, look, you lit a fire for an extra hour. We assume not that way. You just maintain the status quo. That's the question which the poskim talk about. Not at all so simple. Not so simple. In any event, there's a dispute. Let's now go to a next question. There's a thing called a grumma switch. There are actually two different kinds of grumma switches. One who wants to see an excellent summary can look in the Encyclopedia Talmudit under Chashmal. In the back, they have a special appendix of different kinds of electronical devices. And one of them is this idea of the grumma. And they give two different cases. One was suggested, one of the great Rabbanim who pioneered this whole entire area. His name is Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Halperin. Oh, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Where did he get it from? Source 1 and 2. Source 1 says, Tana Rabbanan Nersh al Gabe Tavla Minayr es Atavla Vino Fellas Vim Kofsa Kofsa. Okay, you're allowed to move the tray. It goes out. Okay. Now, source number 2 is a Tosfos. Poseach Menol Kedarko. Number one is a little bit, whatever. Let's go to number 2. That means you're allowed to open and close the door in the normal fashion. Afal pi shay they came mis nadnein haner u misrachek Hashem min ha-shalheves o miskarev mechaber o mavir. It's mutter anyway. Abel ein leforish mishum kibui the ruach da'achori ha-delas. Like a ruach, there's no wind. V'yod. Tim kain abel le-meimah poseach odom delas k'neged haner k'dama b'samach k'neged ha-medura. V'yod. Tenach poseach noel mai isura ikam. In other words, there's nothing wrong with closing the door. If there's a wind that's on the outside, which might have blown out the candle, and you close the window or close the door, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. This is permissible. Permissible. Why is it permissible? So Rav Halperin had a term for it. It's called minias hamonea. The wind would be monea from the candle to keep burning, and you prevent the preventer. That is permissible, and this halacha number 2 finds its way into the Shulchan Aruch in number 11. Ner shamunach achori adeles os leftoach adeles kedako shem yichaveno aruach avolino adeles kenegdo mutter. Why is it mutter? Mishnah Berurah Nitzos number 12. Shebezeh eino osa klum lo mechabe velo mavir. It's maintaining the status quo. It's called minias hamoneya. Oh. So Rav Halperin has a very complicated device. What happens? It's like this. He has a system which prevents electronic device from going on. Fine. Then he has what he calls in Hebrew pulses. Okay, the engineers know what it means, right? Pulsim, and you prevent these pulsim from getting to that device which prevents the machine from going on. It's a double negative, triple negative. So you prevent the pulses from reaching the place where they are, where
they would keep it from going on.
Where they would keep the mechanism which is preventing the light from going on. So when you prevent the pulses, guess what's going to happen? Light's going to go on. Presto. And it's permissible according to Rav Levi Yitzchak Halperin. It's just a minias hamoneya. Now, this is a tremendous chiddush. Why is it a tremendous chiddush? Because if you take a look at the last source, number 12, shebezeh eino osa klum lo mechave v'lo mavir. As a result of what you do, nothing happens. The status quo. Here, as a result of what you're doing, it's somewhat convoluted, all right? What's the bottom line?
The light goes on.
What kind of comparison is this? Who is the one who critiqued him, as it's quoted there in the encyclopedia? a man named Rav Zev Lev, a famous individual, Zichrono Livracha. He actually founded something called Machon Lev. It's named after him. He was a scientist of note, and he was friendly with many gedolim. He was a Talmid Chacham in his own right, and he it critiqued this device of Rav Halperin. He didn't think it was a good idea, and he said the whole idea of Tosis, as we see in source 12, lo mechaber, but lo maber, nothing really happens. But in the case that Rabbi Halperin is talking about, what do you mean? A new light is going to go on. He doesn't think why this should be permissible. He considers it to be a problem, what's called Koach Rishon, as opposed to Koach Sheni. What's that all about? So we have a few minutes to go into this issue, not for too long, but sources 7 and 8. Rav Halperin said it's what's called Koach Sheni, another leniency. What's 7? Omer Rav Papa. A person ties his friend up, his friend, I think it's his enemy, ties him up, and he has the water go over him to drown him. Give me the day. So he gets chayiv misa. He killed him. Says the Gemara, v'hani mili b'koach rishon, aber b'koach sheni, groma b'almahu. Doesn't say chas v'shalom to do it, chas v'chalila, chalila v'chas, but in terms of capital punishment, we cannot give capital punishment if it's under the category of groma b'almo. Now, what do the words mean? What do the words mean? So, let's read the Yad Ramah, who gives his pshat, which I think is the more accepted pshat. Ikele ferushi v'hani mida b'koach rishon shamayim ayordim b'shah shapino lehem derech lo amdu. The water keeps going and going and going. Ad shigiyu le'ish hakofos, till they reach the person who's tied up. The water, let's say it went down a little hill and it rested. All the water that came out reached a flat surface and it rested. Nothing happened. Stopped, complete stop. The wind kicked up. And now the wind blows that water and it drowns the fellow. It's not his gear. It's not what he did. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. Since he didn't do it, there's no culpability. This is the pshat of the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Some say the last few lines that seems to be Rashi's pshat. Is the mefarshei v'animi the bekorach rishon kagon. Shenichu samuch l'sfas hamayim, close to the water. Vasafa midron of a koach rishon kshepinalem derech l'tzad zeh naflu olav davikocho. Right away it drowns it. Aval b'koach sheni shenichu rochok tzas lo naflu hamayim b'tesem migidosei and olav eliyachem mikan olchu ad makom shusham gromahu v'lav mikocho. Rashi happens later. For Lav Milsi, he says, that's wrong. Giri delay. He did it. Who cares what happens now? Who cares what happens later? What's the difference? Giri delay. What is the word giri? Anyone know what the word giri means?
Arrows.
Arrows, exactly. It's his arrow. Exactly his arrow. Oh. Let's see, there's some chorus which were supposed to be here, which are not. That's okay. Let me go into this a little bit on my own without showing you inside. There's a Gemara Masechta Baba Kama. And Avchav Gimel, what the Gemara tells us that the machlokos were the isha mishum chitzav or isha mishum mamona, and the Gemara concludes there, man the isli mishum chitzav, isli nami mishum mamona. And a simple level, what that means is that there are two separate ways to make somebody chayev. One way is if it's chitzav, it's his arrow, and even if it's not his arrow, then you chayev mishum Mamono, no worse than a Shosh Yizik. That's a simple read of the Gemara. But if you look at Rashi and the Marshal and the Gro, on that daf, they have a different interpretation. Man, the Isli Mishum Chitzav, it's not Chitzav literally. It's Chitzav which is limited by Mamono. It's not absolutely considered to be your action. And according to the, if you look in the Ran and Sanhedrin, he explains that you would not be chayisa. Aye, there's Kamalei B'Rabbi Menei, and speaking about Bakama. So the Brisker Rav has a whole piece about this in the Sefer. Why Kamalei B'Rabbi Menei is not necessarily meaning to be chayiv misa, literally in that sense. Not going into that right now. So Rashi, I believe, is l'shitasa. The Rashi learns that Isha Mishum Chitzav Giri Delay is not, it's not really his action. So the Grama's question, it's Giri Delay. What's the difference now or later? No. Rashi l'shitasa, that if the wind blows something, it's Mishum Chitzav, Isli Nami Mishum Mamoni, means it's a limiting factor, limiting his culpability, and therefore would be, not be considered Korach Rishon. That's Rashi's interpretation. Seems that the majority of the poskim hold like the Yad Ramah, and therefore this case, the Rav Halperin threw in the idea of it being a Koach Sheni. It's not completely clear whether that's true. Rav Zevlev claims it's considered to be a Koach Rishon. Again, I'm not a full expert in the technicalities of how this thing works, so I can see two sides. I'm just giving you, I wanted to show you this dispute, which is very, very relevant for all Grama matters. Frankly, the idea of the Rama is my Rebbe's idea, that if you start something going, and it's a continuum from the time you started until the net result is achieved, that's called your action. It's not called Grama. If, on the other hand, the water stops, complete stop, later the wind kicks it up, oh, that's called Grama. So what my Rebbe said is really the Rama. Okay? Keep that in mind. I'm glad we saw it inside. It's very, very important. Okay. Then he throws in another thing, does Rav Zevlev. The fact that this whole Grama device is one big utensil, if you will, it's one big kli, even if it works in a funny way, that shouldn't matter. We don't get involved in the details. It's one big thing. It's one big thing. And therefore, it seems that it should be a significant problem. So, of course, Rav Zevlev was not criticizing Rav Halperin for nothing. He has his own Grama switch. His Grama switch was developed by a group called Somet. Somet is his idea. What is the idea of Somet? What he calls, and he calls it Hamshachat Matzav. What's continuing a previous state. We said before there's a big fight about opening a refrigerator, permissible or not. Let me tell you a story. I haven't told any stories yet today. I'll tell you a story. Great, the story is a great story. When I was, the story is more than 50 years old. I was a senior in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef. My Rebbe was Rabbi Zeidel Epstein, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha. It was in June, and he invited myself and one of my chaverim to come spend Shabbos with him. It was in East New York where he lived, and it was not a Jewish neighborhood at the time at all. Only people left were Rabbi Pam Zatzal and Rabbi Zeidel Zatzal, and everyone else was a few balabatim. It was not, the neighborhood had already turned. Fine. So we're spending Shabbos in his house. And then Rabbi Zeidel was a very calm person, very, very unflappable and calm. It was a big tzaddik. So everything's fine and great. Comes time for Shalosh Shudas. We're supposed to go to Minchi after Shalosh Shudas, and all of a sudden I see Rabbi Zeidel is pacing the kitchen. Something's bothering him tremendously. Something's really bothering him. I don't know what to say. After all his frustration, he gives up, goes outside, and asks a non-Jewish child to come in, gives him a candy, asks him to please open up the refrigerator. Rabbi Zeidel was of the opinion that you could not open the refrigerator while the motor was off, because you're causing it to go on earlier. Who's waiting for what?
The motor to come on.
The motor to go on. Because once it's on, he held you allowed to open it. Yes. All you're doing is continuing the original state. And he's waiting and he's wait. I always say, he could have asked me to open the refrigerator. Perhaps Zeno was a big Balmusa. He wouldn't ask me. So he had to call. You know. You're right? There are much of the chip about it. There are pink and all kinds of opinions. Okay? Hamshachat Matzav. Once the motor is on, you can open the door, even though by opening the door, it's going to keep going on longer. That's Rav Zev Lev's system. What happens? Amazing system he created. Let's say a light. It goes on for a split second, goes off for a minute. Split second, goes off for a minute. Okay? This happens all the time. Now, he says, what I can do is in that split second that it goes on, I press a certain button or something, and the device which makes it go off right away after a split second will be deactivated, and that split second will become an eternity. Hamshachat Matzav, this is the device of Tzomet, which is originally pioneered by Reb Zev Lev, and he compares it to making the Shabbos clock go off later. Now, there is an opinion which says that that's prohibited, as I mentioned to you earlier. It's like, consider this, if you're adding fuel to a candle. No, says Reb Zev Lev. Here it's comparable to adding fuel to a candle which is off, which will light it by itself. And therefore, even those who are strict not to extend the Shabbos clock to go off an hour later would be lenient, he claims, in this case. I'm not sure that's really true.
Why isn't this Minyan Samanea here also?
That's a different system. I'm not sure that Rav Zev Lev's system really works according to my Rebbe's idea. Because according to my Rebbe's idea, it's not like I add oil and somehow the fire is going to go on by itself later on. No. What happens is, the split second that I press that button down, right? That second that I press the button down, the split second extends to an eternity. So in effect, it's simultaneous. It's not like something which happens later on. It happens right away. And therefore, I'm not so sure that this leniency would work, at least according to those who say it's prohibited to extend the light on the Shabbos clock to a later time. Again, it's not so simple that it's permissible. I do believe, based on the various opinions which have been put forward, that each of these grumma devices has a basis, even though each one criticizes the other, as you could well imagine. But as I said when we learned this many years ago, my fear is that they're both right.
About the other one.
Exactly. That's my fear. So therefore, I am not a fan in general of these grumma devices. When someone asked me they wanted to put a grumma phone in my shul for doctors to use, I said no. A doctor needs to make a phone call, let him use a regular phone. My fear is, once you have a special phone which a doctor can use, well, what about, I have to know. You know what I mean? It's not really pikuach nefesh, but it's important, and the doctor uses it, it must be mutter. So I'd rather have the doctor call on a regular phone.
Isn't the question of grammar, though, doesn't reduce at least to a derabbanan?
Exactly.
Not necessarily. Especially when it comes to telephones. If you ask me, a telephone is derabbanan in the first place. So I'm not interested to make it more derabbanan. I'd rather just leave the phone as it is for doctors to use.
If the telephone is derabbanan, does it mean a doctor could use it for a kolashein b'sakana?
That's not a question we're discussing right now. Maybe in a future shiur we'll discuss that. It's a very significant question. We're discussing right now whether shuls should have grumma phones installed in the shul. I'm not a fan. And one of our Moshe's very close people gave me a shikayach for not allowing it, because Rav Moshe was also opposed to these kinds of devices.
What about the devices of the handicapped?
When you talk about a shas atchak, it's a different story. A shas atchak, we have to try to do whatever we can to help people out. I was told that Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked about these Tzomet wheelchairs, and he was asked, what do you need it for? The person in the wheelchair can simply be pushed by somebody else from place to place. What they did before, they had electric wheelchairs. So what's the big deal? I was told that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that the independence of the individual to be able to go by him or herself with this Tzomet joystick, as opposed to being pushed by somebody else, in Shlomo Zalman's estimation, is something that's called Kavod Abrius. Shlomo Zalman was a tremendous sympathizer of Kavod Abrius, and therefore he paskin, I was told, that this Tzomet wheelchair would be permitted as the Shas HaTzchak of Kavod Abrius, even though it's possible for the person to be pushed from place to place. This is something which, of course, it depends on every particular circumstance. I'm not here to go into the every specific example, because every case, of course, is different. And it's a very critical that we realize that these nuances are not not to be just glossed over. Every situation is different. I have to say that if you look in the Sefer Orach HaShabbos, and I like to quote the Sefer ever since, I always like to quote it, but especially since the tragedy in Har Nof took place in the shul of Rabbi Reuben Shalita, the co-author of the Orach HaShabbos. He comes out very strongly against these Grumba devices. You know, the Gedolim were against it, either on technical grounds or on, we'll call it, meta grounds, that it's not a good idea to permit it. Of course, the question then becomes, all these things are prohibited, all these Grumbas are not allowed, how do you open the door to your house? That's a tremendous question. So I found in that very same Sefer, and I'll end this year with this, I'm sorry the time is doesn't allow me to go beyond this, as an amazing leniency, but he warns you, don't you dare try to apply it by yourself. That's not the way we were taught. But this is what he says. As he sends quotes from a number of Gedolim, Rabbi Yashiv, and I think Rabbi Vosner, and maybe Rabbi Nissen Karel, it's a whole array of Gedolim Hador, that make the following amazing comment. They say, if I'm doing something over here, and something happens over there, it's permissible. You know why? It's not a Molechus Machshavah. They created a new category. We call it the here and there category. So I'm here and something is there. It's not a Molechus Machshavah. On this base, they want to have a tremendous leniency, which is really relevant. Now, with all the motion detectors, you walk in the street, a light can go on. And there, it's instantaneous. Right? I believe it's the psikresha, the nichalei. People like to walk in the light as opposed to walk in the dark. And some of the lights may even be incandescent. Thankfully, I'm told that most of them are sodium lights, which are probably only derabbanan. So that means much more room to be late, to be lenient. But it could even conceivably be a deraisa. No problem. It's not a malechus machshavas. And he writes in the bottom, but I'm warning you, no one can apply this rule except for Gedolei Hador. Which means, I don't understand the principle. Because if the principle is understood, then anyone can apply it. But that's what he has in that sefer, which is in the use. But if that's the case, could be it's only the mutter to open the door to your house. I'm not sure if that would extend to open the door to the refrigerator, because that's not so here and there, too close to the oven or the warming drawer. So that might throw a monkey wrench into our reasoning from before. But I just wanted to close with that idea and to thank you for coming to learn more about the idea of grammar in modern technology. Thank you very much.